Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Khalil A. Colonna. The colors are black and gold. The slogan is Somos Unidos. I'm talking about the New Mexico United, Albuquerque's soccer team in the United Soccer League or the USL. The incredibly popular team is working with the city of Albuquerque on constructing a new soccer stadium to house the squad. The city spent $400,000 on a feasibility analysis for the proposal, from which we've learned of the estimated cost, between $65 to $70 million, and four possible locations in downtown Albuquerque with two preferred sites. Those preferred sites are Cole Avenue and Broadway, affecting the South Broadway and Huning Highlands neighborhood, and 2nd Street and Iron Avenue, impacting the Borellas neighborhood. The question of whether or not we will have this new stadium will be left up to the voters. Mayor Tim Keller sent over a resolution to City Council to have the bond proposal for the stadium placed on the November ballot. The City Council plans to address the issue next week on August 16th. The people of Albuquerque have plenty of questions and concerns that must be addressed before November. How much of that $65 to $70 million price tag will taxpayers be on the hook for? And how did the city arrive at that cost? Will the history and legacy of Borellas and other neighborhoods be preserved, or will they vanish away in the same manner that has happened to other communities that have once laid in gentrification's wake? Will the new stadium actually be an economic boost to Albuquerque, specifically downtown? And this is your chance to ask the people in charge of those decisions and tell them what you think about the proposed stadium, whether you support the idea or not. Email us at letstalk@kunm.org or call in live 505-277-5555. My first guest is Neil DeMoss, an editor and writer for The Village Voice in New York City, along with co-author Joanna Kagan, wrote the book Field of Schemes, How the Great Stadium Swindle Turns Public Money into Private Profit. Good morning, Neil. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So briefly, tell us about your book, Field of Schemes, and what it covers.
Sure. We started looking into this 2 decades ago now, which was when you first started to see the big wave of publicly funded sports stadiums and arenas. More and more cities were putting up significant sums of money to either build new or upgrade venues for their sports teams, and wondering, what are cities getting back for this? And found it was remarkably little. At the time and since then, there have been innumerable economic studies trying to find any sign of a significant economic impact from building a new stadium, and it's just not there. Maybe get a very, very small bump in spending, from people who travel to your city to see a game because there's a newer stadium rather than an older one. But the best quote from this, from an economist, is Alan Sanderson at the University of Chicago, who said, if you're trying to get a good economic benefit from your city, you're better off going up in a helicopter and throwing the money out the window, because you'll get more benefit just from by accident than by building a sports stadium.
Okay, so some communities are seeking to ensure that they don't get negatively impacted by such projects. They want to create a community benefits agreement that protects neighborhoods directly impacted from the construction of a new stadium. From your research and work, do community benefit agreements work?
They can work in a small fashion, right? If you're talking about a few million dollars for, new school sports fields or, some other kind of maybe anti-displacement benefits to make sure that people get, moved by the stadium, that they can still get housing. You can get some of that stuff around the margins. But when you're talking, $60, $70 million like you are here, the chances of a community benefits agreement getting it back any sort of, benefit on that level is pretty much nil. If the owner of Mexico United wanted to spend $70 million on benefits for the community, they could just spend it on building a stadium.
Okay, we've got a caller. Amber, you're on the line.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going okay.
I hear that. Wonderful. What's your comment?
My comment, I'm a local tax professional and I'm a contributing writer at Forbes.com, and I agree with Neil. The studies just aren't there to justify, they bring the economic benefit argument and the data just aren't there to support that. And that throws you down to the quality of life argument. Well, it's just going to, you know, it's going to be just great for New Mexico and Albuquerque citizens. And it doesn't sound like the downtown citizens and the citizens in Parrales think that it's a much of a benefit. So it just the whole thing smacks of corporate welfare to me. And I agree with Neil that if they want to provide a benefit to the citizens, that they should just build their own stadium. The other businesses in town have to kind of finance their own stuff.
Well, thank you very much, Amber, for your comment. Neil, what about that? I mean, have there been any situation in professional sports where a stadium was built that was that had a fair and equitable impact on the city and community where it was constructed?
I mean, you can definitely have better and worse ones, right? I mean, the one that everyone loves to point to is the San Francisco Giants baseball stadium, where it was built in a place that didn't require a lot of displacement. It fit in well with the development of the neighborhood that was already going on. It was only about, I think, $15 million in public money out of like $300 million total. So, yeah, you can definitely try to figure out ways that it fits in better with the fabric of a city. But, you know, really it just comes down to, you know, keeping the public costs down and making sure that you get as much in terms of public benefits as you can. Because, again, you know, when you're talking this sort of money, whether it's $70 million for a USL stadium or it's, you know, the sorts of things we're seeing, which could be as much as $1 billion for a, you know, Major League Baseball or football stadium. You know, it's, that level of scale is just not something you can ever recoup with, you know, a little bit of extra sales tax collection or something like that.
So what would your recommendations be to the people of Albuquerque, New Mexico United ownership and city leadership about how to proceed forward with this and make it fair?
I mean, I think the first thing to look at is that price tag necessary and justified, right? Are you really going to get $70 million worth of benefits, whether that's, you know, new revenue for the team, new naming rights, you know, additional economic activity in the city? Is there really going to be a return on this? Or are we just talking about building a stadium, you know, so that you can get $70 million, somebody else to pay $70 million and get all the benefits yourself? And, you know, I think you could probably sit down and figure out, okay, if it's not $70 million, but it's only going to bring in, I don't know, $40 million worth of new revenue, then how do you equitably figure it out that, you know, maybe the team puts up a little bit more, maybe the city gets back a little bit more in terms of whether it's rent or a share of naming rights or ad revenue or something like that. But, you know, the first thing you want to do is make sure that there's actually a pie to divide up fairly, right? If you're going in with negative pie, it's really hard to come up with a fair solution.
I understand that. Well, joining me now is Peter Trevisani. He is the president and principal owner of New Mexico United. Peter, thanks for being a part of the show.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So let me ask the big question. Why a stadium?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons why. I mean, there's the, but, you know, I think the big reason is that while a city and a state, we need to take care of our, you know, issues that we have. And we always have problems we have to solve, but we also have to create attractions and amenities that are going to keep our kids here, that are going to attract companies, you know, like Netflix or NBC Universal Studios. That are going to create jobs that are also going to keep our kids here. So we have to, you know, put money towards the issues we have, but we also have to create public amenities that push our city forward and create a place that people want to live, and we want to keep our kids here. We want the hopes and dreams of our kids to come true here. So you know, you have to balance that out. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, every 10 or 20 years, a project like this comes along that could be a huge catalyst on that side to offset some of the issues that we have.
Here's an email from one of the listeners, an email from George. He says, we need a new stadium. Ignoring the overall goal that the team has for it, the pride in having a pro sports team that isn't a farm club for another state, the benefits to our youth and school soccer organizations and development. We need a stadium because the USL Championship requires a soccer-specific stadium for their franchises. If we don't get one, we cannot keep the team. Is that true? through. If the team cannot get a stadium, what happens to New Mexico United?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what George said there in the sense that we do need to, you know, all those benefits that he mentioned. And right now we have an issue. We have some stadiums in Albuquerque. You know, we have UNM, we have Isotopes. But there's so much programming going over there on right now that it's next to impossible to schedule the United games. And we want to expand that. We'd love to bring a Division One NWSL women's team. There's just no chance that we can do that right now because we don't have the facility. So as the city is growing, we need to grow. And this stadium, which is also, I think, needs to have other programming in it and provide a space for the arts and music and other events, something that's open every single day, can be a real catalyst for our city and can really show the resiliency and vibrancy of Albuquerque and could be something that we can be proud of and build around.
Here's a comment from one of our callers, Phil. He asks, why not use the football stadium, UNM's football stadium? He says it's only used 6 times per year and it already has parking and is the size of a soccer field.
Yeah, on the face of it, that sounds like a great solution. But here's the problem is, they do use it for football, and when so that we can't play on those dates. We also can't play when they have a UNM women's soccer game or a track and field event, or there's a basketball game at the pit or bull riding, or the 70-plus games that the Isotopes play across the street. So United has to schedule around all those events to try to play our games. And if it wasn't for COVID this year and the lack of some of those teams playing, I don't think we would have got all our games in at home. We would have had to play games out of the state. There's just no way to do that programming. And even if we could squeeze in the bare minimum number of games, how can we bring a professional women's team here? How can we do other programming? So we're just at the point that we've grown and that we're lucky that we've been able to expand the programming by having a team like United. And so, you know, this is how cities grow. And we put the stadium in there. Maybe one day we need to build an arena or we need to do something else in 10 or 20 years. That's good progress, and I think that if it's done right, I know Neil pointed out some cases of it not being done right. I don't, you know, but if Neil was really familiar with the local economy, you know, he'd look at the Isotopes deal, which not only was a bond that was done 20 years ago, it got paid back early in 11 years, so all the money the city put in, every single dollar the city got back, and they're still getting benefits from it. And so I would just ask people in Albuquerque, have we been better off with the Isotopes here over the last 20 years? Or would the city be better off without that team here? Because all that money came back, and we still reap the benefits of that team for decades to come.
Neil, are you familiar with the Albuquerque Isotope Stadium?
A little bit, but I mean, I guess I'm more curious about how it's going to work with this stadium, Peter. You know, you're saying that the benefit that, you know, there are going to be benefits that are going to pay it back. Is that actual revenue that's going to come back to the city in terms of whether it's, again, rent or tax revenue or something like that? Or are we talking about sort of more vague economic activity that's going to, you know, I mean, because, you know, paying off a bond can be successful because, you know, you have a good, you know, you have a revenue stream that comes from taxes. Or it can mean there's actually stuff that's coming from, you know, the operation of the venue itself. So is there a plan in place to actually get $70 million worth of revenue back for the city?
Peter, you got about 40 seconds to answer that.
There are plans in place, direct and indirect. And the city's contribution isn't 70, it's 50. We've talked about the team contributing 10 in different forms. Whether that's, you know, while we can't own part of the stadium, we're not allowed to mix public and private money. So New Mexico United could never own 5, 10, or 20% of the stadium, but we can make contributions through prepaid rent. We can make contributions by putting money into some of the amenities or some of the build out, like a scoreboard or some of the concession stands. So, you know, we have $10 million from the state, there's $50 million from the city. If you put another 10 in from United, we've got our $70 million, and then it gets paid back through various mechanisms. So, you know, I would never want to go down a path. I love this city and I love this state, and that's why we're doing New Mexico United. It's not to make a bunch of money. So, you know, we want to make sure the bond gets paid back even faster than the Isotopes so that we can now do other projects that can look back and say, hey, United was successful. Let's go try to do this other project and be bold. And so every, 5, 10, 20 years.
I'm going to break in right there for you, Peter. Sorry about that. We have to take a break. We need to go to a quick break. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I am Khalil Lake-Alona. We are talking about the New Mexico United Stadium proposal, and we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 505-277-5866. We'll be back in a moment.
Support comes from Betty's Bath and Day Spa, providing a wellness and relaxation retreat in the heart of Albuquerque's North Valley for 21 years. Betty's is safely open for business, offering massages, facials, and outdoor hot tub rentals. Betty'sBath.com. Support comes from Canteen Brewhouse, locally brewed beer, cider, and root beer. Growlers, crowlers, six packs, and an expanded food menu are available. Open at noon, 7 days a week. CanteenBrewhouse.com.
This summer at the Verbier Music Festival in Switzerland, 24 musicians tested positive for COVID. Orchestra members were sent home, but the festival came up with an ingenious way to move forward. Highlights from the reimagined Verbier Festival on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
And welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Khalil Ekolona. I'm talking with Peter Trevisani, owner of New Mexico United, about the proposal for the new stadium, and Neil DeMoss, an expert and writer about new stadiums and their effectiveness. From players getting sponsored, this is what we're going to go. We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 505-277-5866. I've got a caller on the line, Kimberly from Berlin. You're on Let's Talk New Mexico. Thanks for calling us, Kimberly.
Hey guys, my question for the owner is, Cole and Broadway and even Second and Iron, you guys are going to be displacing the Railrunner maintenance. And where is that money going to come from by moving the depot? Because a lot of people don't know that that's where the Railrunner does their maintenance. And you guys would literally be putting your stadium right on top of where the Railrunner's at. And you guys obviously want to utilize the trains for passengers for getting to the stadium because it's convenient. But what about that cost? That's, obviously a pretty big cost to be moving trains, moving tracks, moving crew. How is that going to fit in also?
Peter, have you discussed anything with the city about this potential situation?
I think it's a good point. I think it's a good question. I think it's probably a better question for the city to answer. I mean, the city operates that facility, and I think that's probably just a better one for them to answer. For me to try to answer that would just be I wouldn't have all the facts. So, but I think it's a great question and one that we should ask the city. I know that it has been addressed and it's part of the plan.
We will have a representative from the city on joining us in a few minutes later on in the show. I'd like to bring in another guest, Lisa Padilla. She is the president of the Borrellas Homeowners Association. Thank you so much for joining us today, Lisa.
Thanks so much. Actually, it's the Borrellas Neighborhood Association. We don't just represent homeowners.
I apologize. The Borrellas Neighborhood Association. So when you discuss this proposal with people in the Borrellas Neighborhood Association and talk to your neighbors, what are their thoughts about this project?
Well, I mean, it's a mixed bag. A lot of skepticism. We have a history here of urban renewal projects. As recently as 2014, there was a rail yard development plan in which community benefits were discussed and have largely been sort of ignored or, not necessarily incorporated into activities. And so people here are skeptical, also because of our late entry into the conversation. We sort of found out about it accidentally that, our neighborhood is the preferred site, and it would have been really nice to have been included in the conversation leading up to finding, having that kind of press release. So our bottom line is mostly that we're interested in protecting our citizens and also interested in looking how we can benefit the people who live here without displacement. And that's really our concern, is that we don't have gentrification and gentrification happening.
Can you talk about that a little bit of it? Give me a brief historical perspective on the gentrification issues that Borellas has suffered over the few years.
Well, it's been a long history of displacement since the rail yards closed. A lot of projects that have tried to bring urban renewal or actually moving people out of the community, like the National Hispanic Cultural Center. There were a lot of houses that were bought and people who were moved out of the neighborhood. When there was a meatpacking plant and a sewage processing plant brought into the neighborhood, people were moved out. It's been a shrinking populace and at the same time sort of trying to renovate our neighborhood repeatedly without really consulting and honoring the people who live here. And so, you know, people are skeptical about promises. And so I think, you know, if there's a way to make something like a community benefits agreement that's legally binding, that might be helpful so that we can actually have something that is enforceable instead of empty promises.
What do you all want to see in that community benefits agreement?
Well, some of the things that we're thinking about, and we have yet to meet with community, but we're talking about things like preferred hiring for people in the neighborhood, promises for a living wage and benefits and a chance to grow into better employment situations so that people have training so that they don't just end up, you know, being a hot dog vendor for the rest of their lives, something where they can grow and have a better job. So it's an interesting discussion, trying to figure out how do we prioritize local businesses, so maybe having local vendors be vendors in the stadium as well, so that the money doesn't all leave the neighborhood once it's spent. Also trying to think about infrastructural improvements. It's going to be a traffic problem in addition to, you know, light and noise and garbage and that kind of stuff. I mean, how do we go about making it so that this isn't a burden on the neighborhood? Trying to be of the vision and the planning that goes into making this beneficial for the neighborhood.
Peter, is that something that you're willing to do? Are you willing to meet with Lisa and other organizational leaders to really develop a plan to come up with a community benefits agreement that really helps everybody, helps New Mexico United out, and helps whatever community this stadium happens to be built in?
Yeah. Good morning, Lisa. And I agree with everything you just said. And I think that, you know, I'm glad that the city is engaging in a conversation with you now. I think that's really important. I know United has been in Borellas and will continue to be, and we should, you know, we should meet. But I love what you just said about preferred hiring, about not just hiring but training. You know, giving people skills that they can develop and grow. You know, we need to push, you know, forward and create positive outcomes for everybody. So I am completely on board with that, and I also think we should explore something where we're not just writing, you know, a community benefits agreement that has a one-time check to the community. But, you know, one of the things that they did, the city did with the Isotopes that was very successful is instead of the, they have a 10%, what they call a minor league baseball tax. But what if we even, you know, move that up to something like 12%, and a percentage of that went into the community benefits agreement every single year. So it's replenished. And so it just doesn't run out of money and okay, we built this, we did that, but it's something where there's money every year. And if the stadium is as successful as we want it to be, that means there's even more money for the community. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to meeting. And I think that's how we're going to be spending a lot of the next 3 months, is working through these things. And so it's in the res, and I think it should be in the resolution. And it should be something that's legally binding. Absolutely. Let's make this work, and let's make it something we're proud of, not something that we look back and say, oh, it was great for some one person, but it was horrible for everybody else.
Okay, well, we have a comment right here from Terrence. He says the facility would be owned by the city and the club would be contributing private funding, pardon me, as well. To make this a public-private partnership, United simply doesn't have $50 million to invest outright, but what they can do is put some of their own money forward as well as be on a rent-paying tenant, paying off the bond. And then we will have additional revenue that will continue to go towards city projects. The city will benefit. They'll have a potentially new, best-in-the-league soccer facility that generates civic pride, and after the initial investment, that will be paid back additional tax dollars and tourism. The people get a place to watch high-level soccer for themselves and their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, something to be proud of. The additional local business impact. This is an investment, again, that will be paid back and be a net positive, just like the isotopes in the community. I don't necessarily think if people are worried so much about that as from the comments and questions that I've seen in drawing up to this episode, it feels like people are worried about the displacement. They're worried about gentrification and not really paying attention to some of the other issues we have in downtown. Is that something that, would you say that that's correct, Lisa?
Absolutely. I mean, one thing that has come up in conversation with residents here is, you know, the notion that, you know, a corporate entity will get tax benefits, and maybe the idea of what kind of tax benefits could we offer to people who live here, you know, trying to think about an equitable sharing of the benefits as well as the burdens of having it here. So talking to not just city officials, but trying to talk about things with state representatives and people who are in a position to make those kinds of decisions, because we've heard from the city that, you know, the taxes aren't under their control. So trying to figure out how to collaborate with, you know, the larger system, so county, state, and talking about really making this a chance for equitable development to happen so that it's fair.
Okay, yeah, we reached out to the mayor's office. He was not available to be a part of the show, but they did send a representative from the city. Allow me to introduce my next guest, Alicia Manzano, the liaison for strategic partnerships with the city of Albuquerque. Thank you for joining us, Alicia.
Thank you so much for having me, Khalil.
So when we see this tab of $65 to $70 million paid for this project, paid mostly with taxpayers' money, people think taxes are going to go up to cover the cost of the stadium. Tell me, are our taxes going to contribute to the project, and will our taxes be raised?
So taxes will not go up. The project can be paid for through a combination of issuing bonds based on the city's current available bonding capacity, and also through refinancing previous bonds. So no, taxes will not increase as a result of this project.
Okay, we got a call from Bill in Los Lunas. Bill, you're on the line.
Yes, good morning. To the gentleman who's the owner, other than yourself, who's the rest of the private sector that's seeking corporate handouts from the taxpayers? Also, the players and coaches will have salaries surely over wages, and water. What's the estimate cost of water that you'll be using? And there is a cost to the taxpayers, time travel on that community, on that neighborhood, a lot of spent time trying to get people to get this involved. I say no, because I don't have no jockeys. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. Now, that's a question. The water costs, maybe Peter or Alicia, you can answer this. Has the city really looked into the potential costs of any water usage for this project?
Well, I think those details will have to be sort of hammered out as we go and, as of course, as we select a site. So none of those details have been hammered out, as we're just really, what the city's proposing is to allow the voters a say as to whether or not they want a stadium in November. That's really our first and foremost goal moving forward, in addition to, of course, meeting with neighbors and meeting with community as we pursue this project.
Okay, we've got another call from Don in Albuquerque. Don, you're on the line.
My question is to Peter. If you were homeless, or if your closest loved ones were homeless, would you believe building a new soccer stadium is the most important use of public money?
Thank you for your call. Now, that's something that I've seen in comments. People feel like the city of Albuquerque has more pressing needs than building a new soccer stadium, more pressing needs that we can invest $50 to $60 to $70 million in. Peter, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And I think the answer to that is we need to do both. We need to take care of the issues we have, you know, around the homeless, around crime. And I know the city invests a tremendous amount of money in that every year. But then we also need to create projects that create positive community benefits that really are going to allow us to grow and expand our economy, that are going to allow our kids to stay here. How many kids have had to move away because they can't get a job here? You know, how many families have had to split up because, you know, the hopes and dreams of their children or grandkids can't come true here because we don't have the jobs. So these are the kind of things that attract companies like Netflix, that attract companies that bring good, high-paying jobs for our citizens, and also, you know, frankly, will allow our kids to stay here. So many of our young people want to stay here, and they just simply can't. So we have to turn that around too, so we have a vibrant city. And we can continue to address homelessness, continue to address crime, and can continue to address the fact that we need to create amenities that keep our next generation here and build a bridge of hope and not just a bridge of despair.
Okay, and I want to draw back to something that Lisa mentioned earlier. She said that the idea, the news of this kind of popped up on her and her community members in the Bareilles neighborhood. So, Alicia, is the city working with communities to ensure that there's transparency moving forward so that people aren't surprised if suddenly, you know, their zone or their neighborhood is up for potential construction?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And let me just address a couple of things that have come up from previous callers and in the previous question as well. You know, the city is committed to investing in the priorities of public safety, protecting the unhoused. All of those things are huge commitments of the city. We've invested roughly $50 million in facilities for the unhoused, roughly $80 million in capital investments in public safety and pedestrian safety. I just want to point that out because we have to be able to tackle the city's most pressing challenges, but we also have to look to the future, and that's what we're trying to do with this project. The other thing I want to highlight is the city of Albuquerque will own the stadium. So this idea of, you know, this being a corporate handout, that is not the case. It'll be very much matched up with the way we operate Isotopes Park in that we own the facility. So it will be city owned, and we will obviously have United as a tenant in the facility. Now, to your question about the community benefits agreement, we absolutely believe and support in the community benefits agreement. We hope to be a model for others about how to do this right. And so we really have started to engage the communities. As a matter of fact, last week we had a meeting with both South Broadway and with Bareilles, with Lisa, who's also on the call this morning. And we hope to continue to do that as we select a site. And of course, we want to select a site that has very minimal displacement. So I just want to address that as well. And of course, we will bring neighborhoods to the table as we get closer to that. And we absolutely want to engage in a community benefits agreement.
Okay. I want to thank you very much for that. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I am your host, Khalil Ekolona. I am on the line with Alicia Manzano from the city of Albuquerque, Lisa Padilla, who represents the Bareilles Neighborhood Association, and on the line with Peter Trevisani, the owner and chief operator of New Mexico United. We are talking about the new proposal for the brand new, potentially brand new stadium to be built somewhere downtown. You can call us up at 505-277-5866. 6. It is time for a break. Again, you're listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Khalil A. Colonna. We're discussing the proposal for the New Mexico United Stadium. We want to hear your thoughts. Call us 505-277-5866.
Indigenous people presented a totem pole to the Biden administration. The totem made a cross-country trip to raise awareness of endangered sacred places before arriving in Washington, D.C. Now the work remains advocating for the protection of sacred sites. We'll hear more about it on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
Donations come in many forms, a sustaining membership, a one-time gift, even that extra vehicle you no longer need. Donating a vehicle is a great way to support KUNM. It's easy. Pickup is free, you get a tax deduction, a KUNM membership, and your vehicle could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Give us a call today to learn more about donating your vehicle. Call 888-KUNM-CAR, that's 888-586-6227. And thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I am Khalil A. Colonna. We are discussing the New Mexico United Stadium, the proposal for the New Mexico United Stadium. And I've got a question for you, Alicia Manzano of the City of Albuquerque. Community benefits agreements, that has come up over and over as a theme here of something that can be done to kind of ameliorate any worries that members of neighborhoods would have. Has the city spoken to community members about the creation of a community benefits agreement? And the city also spent $400,000 on the feasibility study for this new stadium. Will the city invest funds into consultation for a community benefits agreement?
Well, it's a great question. And yes, the answer is we did, and we have met with some neighborhoods. As I mentioned, we met with both the South Broadway Neighborhood Association and the Barilas Neighborhood Association. Look, this is near and dear to my heart. My dad's a Barileño. My great-grandmother grew up on Pacific. I grew up going to Duke's games and was so excited when Isotopes Park opened, and I could take my dad to Isotopes Park after all the years he took me to Duke Stadium. I'm sort of hoping for that same type of feeling for families moving forward for years to come at this new stadium. And yes, we will engage with the neighbors and the neighborhoods around the community to make sure that we are looking at a community benefits agreement. We will also absolutely be looking at the consultation agreement to be able to get that done. We are committed to doing it. We believe that the community should have a say in how this is completed in their own neighborhood. And we look forward to doing that.
All right. We've got a phone call from Tom in Albuquerque. Tom, you're on the line.
So I just have a couple general comments after listening so far. After the dysfunctional ripoff that was the Albuquerque Rapid Transit project, which produced huge profits for one corporation and disrupted and shut down businesses that have and neighborhoods that have yet to recover from that, I'm very leery of public funds being used for projects that are for private profit. I do not trust that this project benefits the people of Albuquerque overall. The representative from the city said there's $50 million spent for the homeless, $50 million on another thing, and you're proposing to spend an equal amount on a soccer stadium. And these things tend to get rushed through. They tend to be very dysfunctional. Art is the best example of that. And I want to be sure the consultations with the neighborhood, I didn't hear her answer that will they be included in a written community benefits agreement, those neighborhoods that may be impacted. I didn't hear that the answer was yes to that. I just don't, in general, trust that this project is planned well enough, is going to be transparent enough, and is not just primarily going to benefit the soccer team and the people who've invested in that. And the last thing I have to say in terms of suspicions is I find it really, it was terribly sad and wrong for UNM to drop the men's soccer team, the one team they had that was always in the top 10 every year. And I find it suspicious that program was dropped right before this proposal was brought out. And that's all I have to say right now.
All right. Thank you very much for your comment. We have an email from Darren. He says he lives in Barelas and he's very involved in the community. The people here want the stadium. All of the people saying that they're concerned about gentrification and displacing people are white people who don't live in our community. When you talk to the people of color who actually live here, most of us want the stadium. People who aren't in the neighborhood shouldn't get to decide for us. We want a stadium. He is a member of the Barelas neighborhood. Lisa, is that something that you've seen?
Well, you know, we've had mixed messages from different people. Lots of people who are enthusiastic about seeing soccer become more well-established in New Mexico. The people that I've talked to who are in that group have actually been mostly white people, but, you know, I don't think that that is necessarily the lens through which we should look. I think that what we need to do is really hear from community what their priorities are, whether it's, you know, having environmental concerns addressed and water. I mean, it's possible that, you know, a stadium could power our neighborhood if we were able to put solar stuff into play, or, you know, it's really a complicated equation, but there are people who are worried about being displaced too, so it's not a single issue kind of proposition that we're looking at.
Yeah, I understand, which requires conversation and action and everybody being involved. I'd like now to welcome State Representative Javier Martinez. He's a Democrat for District 11, which includes two of the proposed sites, and he's the New Mexico State House Majority Leader. Representative Martinez, welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico.
Good morning. Thank you, Khalil.
So as a state representative, how do you feel about the proposal for the new stadium?
Well, you know, first and foremost, I think that this is the issue of the bond has to go to the voters and it has to be approved by the voters in the entire city, including those in the district that I represent. And should the voters decide to approve the bond and make that public investment, then I think we'll move forward into developing what this should look like for the benefit of the neighborhood. You know, I think as many of the callers have mentioned earlier, we've got pressing issues that we will continue to address. And I agree with Ms. Manzano, you know, between city and state, we've made investments in the hundreds of millions of dollars in public safety, in housing for the unhoused, public health, behavioral health, you name it. We've got to keep doing that. This project for me represents an investment in the future. I don't think it's a silver bullet to address all of our issues, not at all. But I do think a project that hopefully we will be very proud of if it happens. Having said that, keep in mind that in New Mexico, you know, oftentimes we don't have the private financing capacity to build large scale projects. And whether we talk about Netflix, NBC Universal, Intel, any big company that we've attracted to the state, we've done so through a combination of public-private partnerships, tax incentives, capital outlay, you name it. And this is no different, with the exception that this project is completely, you know, the soccer concept is owned by local business people. This is not an out-of-state corporation, which makes me feel proud because oftentimes we give away incentives to out-of-state corporations to lure them in. These folks are from here. They live here. They're raising families here. That's something that I think we all should feel very proud of.
Now, we've got a phone call from Josh. Josh, you're on the line at Let's Talk New Mexico.
Thank you. My question is for, I guess, everybody to consider. There's been discussion about other pressing needs in terms of infrastructure that the community has. My curiosity about the available bonding capacity is what's the opportunity cost regarding those more pressing needs of putting this $50 million question on the ballot for voters? Do we lose the opportunity to timely spend that bonding capacity on other priorities if voters don't approve the bond?
All right. Thank you for that question. Alicia, I'd like to have you answer first and then you, Representative Martinez.
So it's my understanding if the bonds aren't approved for this project, we can use the bonds for a different project at a later date that would have to be presented in the same way, via resolution, et cetera.
Okay. Okay. Javier Martinez.
Yeah, look, that's a fantastic response from Ms. Manzano. Also keep in mind, there's some myth of scarcity that permeates through the state. I've been in the state house now for 7 years almost, and I've heard over and over again, we don't have the money. I can tell you, we have the money to really address a lot of these issues, and we are investing in addressing a lot of these issues. I think the opportunity cost is always something we need to be aware of, but certainly I think the funding is there to do a large-scale project like this one, and to provide housing, and to provide education funding. We've been at the forefront of those battles for the last few years, and I have to say, quite successfully.
All right, we've got a call from Roger in Albuquerque. Roger, you're on the line.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to ask if the project, if it's settled down where we're discussing, will wipe out the current activities in the rail yards, and ask what community we're really talking about here. It's not just Borealis. We have created there this amazing opportunity for hundreds of people to sell their products, for thousands last Sunday when I was there, of people to come down. It supports our agricultural part of our economy. And does that go away if this stadium is settled there? I'm very concerned that while I'd like to have a soccer team here too, staying here, supporting the community, what is our vision for supporting the smaller vendor and grower?
Thank you very much for your call, Roger. Peter, is that something that you all talked about in the planning of this new stadium? How is this going to affect the rail yards market and the greater area around it?
Yeah, I think when you look at the site study that was conducted by the city, it's actually not on the rail market. It's ancillary to it or next to it. So it's really seen as an enhancement and something that will bring more people to those markets. And that means we should have more vendors there selling their goods and selling more goods. So that should be a net positive. And I also think, within the facility, I don't understand why we export so much food into our stadiums now. Why can't 100% of the food that is sold there be from New Mexico? We have some of the best ranches and farmers in the country, and we should be using our own food here. So, I think if we just get a little bit creative, and instead of trying to maybe maximize profits, we focus on maximizing positive outcomes, this can be a huge catalyst for all New Mexicans. And that's just one area that would be a simple thing to implement that would have a huge impact.
Local sourcing of concessions is not a bad idea. We've got a phone call from Susan in Albuquerque. Susan, you're on the line.
Good morning. My question is, we have money for the art project. Now we're trying to get money together for the soccer complex. We never seem to have money for our schools. And my thinking is that we really need to invest in that, because we're not going to get big business to move here if their employees can't get good education for their children. And I feel like we're wasting our money and going in the wrong direction, because I think we really, in order to get business here, we have to offer them good education for their children.
Thanks. Thank you very much for your call. Representative Martinez, let's expand on that a little bit. How far can we go in the investment, not only in this potential soccer stadium, but what do we need to do to really improve our education situation here in New Mexico?
Camille, that is a fantastic question. And look, again, this $50 million bond question it would be coming out of bonding capacity, which does not fund public schools. It's a completely separate bucket of money. Now, I'm happy to report that over the last 2-3 years, the legislature has actually increased funding for K-12 education by over $400 million per year, in addition to an increase of over $500 million a year over the last 10 years out of the land-grant permanent fund. This last session, we also approved a constitutional amendment that is going to go to the voters now in next November
to increase the distribution from that land grant fund, specifically to fund early childhood education services like childcare and pre-K, and to provide additional dollars for at-risk students in the K-12 system. I absolutely agree with the caller. We've got to double and triple down on education investments. By funding the construction of a publicly owned stadium does not mean we don't invest in education. We have been and we will continue to do so.
All right. We're going to go to another call. We've got Luke. Luke, you're on the line.
Luke, I'm in Germany right now, so if the connection's a little rough, I apologize.
Calling from overseas. Thanks.
I want to thank Lisa and Peter and Javier and Alicia for doing this panel. This is great. I just wanted to say I'm actually on the board as well with Lisa for the BNA, and that I just wanted to say that there's several of us in the community that are actually very pro-stadium, provided that, you know, we do have that community benefits agreement. And a lot of the history is that particular spot they're looking at in the rail yards has been a pretty depressed and problematic area for us. We've had two different, you know, tent cities there that caused a bit of controversy. Lots of vacant lots. Tom Lang's old building with the journal is there, and it's not being used much. So if a stadium goes in there and we use it to kind of like enhance things like the rail yards market that was brought up earlier, and I think Peter mentioned using, you know, local vendors in the stadium and bringing that in would be absolutely a net positive for the neighborhood, as long as we have that in concrete writing and other benefits that are really important to the people of Perales in the agreement. And I think that's just what I wanted to say, is that there's many of us in the community that are absolutely advocates for having the stadium. It's not one way or the other.
All right. Luke, calling from Germany, thank you very much for your call, your comment, and thank you for listening from the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. We got a minute before I've got to close out, but can I ask, Luke brought up a very important point. Everybody on this phone call right now are people who can engage in those conversations and ensure that this project moves forward. Like I said earlier, that is equitable, that is thinking about the community, and that really helps out Albuquerque in the best way possible. Is that something I'm going to ask all four of you? Are you all willing and capable, and do you agree to meet together to have constant, robust conversations like the ones we're having now so we can work this out?
Well, one thing I would say about that is that in order for that kind of conversation to happen, we're going to need funding for a community development fund to help neighborhoods organize and communicate with residents. And that may be put into the bond, or we may be able to address it with a separate issue on the ballot. But we're trying to make sure that there's a way for community to get together in those conversations with city.
Peter, briefly, I only have time for you. You got about 20 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. We have to keep talking. We have to do this together. We can't do this alone. I think we've seen with, you know, United and other things that our city and our state is so amazing when it comes together. And I think, you know, United's been an example of that. And I think we can do that with this stadium. So I'm looking forward to having as many conversations as possible.
All right. That is all the time we have today. Thanks to everyone who called in to share your thoughts. And thanks so much to our guests, Neil DeMoss, Peter Trevisani, Lisa Padilla, Alicia Manzano, and Representative Javier Martinez. If you missed a part of the show, stream it online or subscribe to our podcast. You can find it wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And for the next week of Let's Talk New Mexico, on next week's show, host Yasmin Khan will be looking back to the 1971 Chicano uprising in New Mexico and where the movement stands today. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Robert Maldonado live tweeted. Yasmin Khan screens your calls. Ty Bannerman is our executive producer of the show. I am Khalil A. Colonna. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.